will affect us all in terms of our choices when it comes to who is going to challenge Michael Bennet from the Republican Party to go to the U.S. Senate. Now, if you are a longtime Coloradan and you understand the political process, I apologize in advance. We're going to kind of do a little primer because there are so many new people here that are probably truly confused. We'll start with the news media coverage of the state convention, where a man named Daryl Glenn comes out of nowhere, makes a barn burner of a speech. He's on the ballot. Now, I got emails from people outside the state saying, who is this guy? Is he going to actually have a chance? And I said, he's not the nominee yet. He's not the nominee, which takes us to part two of the process. And that is, there are other ways to get on the primary ballot in Colorado. Number one is to go to the state convention and get a certain percentage of the votes. Number two is to collect signatures on petitions. You go around to people in all of the different districts and you get all these signatures. Then you have the signature certified and then they put you on the ballot. My next guest, John Kaiser, had a bit of drama last week surrounding that process. What happened, John? First of all, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Mandy. I appreciate it a lot. It was actually an interesting week because it wasn't too dramatic for us. We had double and triple checked our petition process and everything. And actually, I'm a reservist still in the United States Air Force. I was gone on reserve duty. And I knew that we had double and triple checked our petition signatures. But yes, we had the Secretary of State that said we had a problem and we had a few signatures short in one of the congressional districts. But we knew we were okay and very confident about that. It took a couple days, but I'm on the ballot now and ready to beat Michael Bennet.
What was the confusion? I read the news stories and I still don't understand what the confusion was.
Yeah, it kind of comes down to a part of law where we had a guy who was going around, he's working for us for months collecting signatures, and he did a great job doing that. Now the Secretary of State, actually not the Secretary of State, but a bureaucrat that works in that office, decided that he couldn't quite tell who that person was, whether in fact he was a registered voter, and he was, of course. He'd been registered as a Republican for years and everything, so we knew we didn't have any issue there, and unfortunately we had to go to court to take care of it, but now we're moving onward. Here we go to beat Michael Bennet.
So you are on the ballot. John, why don't you give my listeners who are not familiar with your work, why don't you give me your elevator speech on who John Kaiser is?
Well, thanks. Yeah, and I'm a native Coloradan. I grew up on the Western Slope, and I'm a blue-collar Coloradan. My dad was a construction worker. My mom worked odd jobs to help make ends meet. And, we had a meager upbringing. But my way up was through the military. And I graduated from the Air Force Academy. I was very fortunate.
What year did you graduate? Because you look like you're about 17 years old. I'm just going to say that, right? I don't know if I'm getting too old for this. But, yeah, you have a youthful demeanor.
Well, it's good lighting in here.
Yeah, it's not for me. Trust me.
Well, yeah. So, actually, 9/11 happened while I was at the Academy. And that really sort of changed my whole picture on things because I was actually a free fall instructor and a jump master. We were getting ready to jump out of an airplane, and suddenly the pilots banked the plane really heavily over to one side, and they told us we had to strap in. We had to land immediately, and of course we got off the airplane when we landed, walked into the parachuting rigger's loft, and saw what had happened in New York and in Washington.
I can only imagine what that must have been like being in a military academy because, we all felt affected, but you knew. You were affected with a capital A at that moment.
We knew right away, and it started with the fact that we got put on lockdown. Actually,
right.
They locked us down for, I think it was like
and
6 weeks.
And students love that. Yeah, they love that, not being able to leave base. That's awesome.
It was a long time. But when I graduated, we had two ground wars going on, one in Iraq and one in Afghanistan. And even though I was an Air Force guy, I thought the bigger impact that I could make serving our country would be on the ground. So I volunteered and became an intelligence officer and was a member of a special operations team. And we did capture-kill missions on members of al-Qaeda and the Iranian-backed insurgency in 2006 and 2007. That's before and during the surge in Iraq. And those were very formative years, of course, deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan, other places. But it really kind of gave me the basis in my understanding of the threats that we face, not only at home, but of course abroad, and how dynamic those threats are. And I think that's really what we need right now is people in our United States Senate that understand and appreciate those threats and that are ready to do what is necessary to keep our country safe and secure and economically prosperous.
Well, this isn't your first foray into politics, though.
I was a member of the House of Representatives in Colorado, and I served in House District 25, which is the western portion of Jefferson County, about 65% of the county or so. So I was during my time in the House of Representatives, I used that as an opportunity to serve my constituents and tried to be a common sense Coloradan, a common sense conservative, where the first bills that I worked on were ones to repeal laws, things that I think are common sense. We've got so many laws in the books now, small businesses don't even know in many cases what they have to comply with. I worked on being a fiscal conservative, and last year actually we had what at the time was the largest spending bill in the history of the state of Colorado. It was the largest year-over-year increase in spending in the history of the state of Colorado, and that sailed through the Republican-controlled Senate. In the House, I stood up not only to Democrats but to Republican leadership, and we tried to amend it. We tried to cut that bill down, and I stood up and said, no, we've got to make sure that we're spending our money more wisely. And so I certainly have demonstrated that I'm a fiscal conservative through all the different votes that I've had while I was in the House of Representatives.
Let's jump ahead because I only have you for one segment, so we're going to kind of cut to the chase. Let's just do the assumed close. Okay, John Kaiser's the next U.S. senator from the state of Colorado. How do you approach the people in your own party that have not seemed to be very fiscally conservative? Because that's been my great frustration about this particular wackadoodle campaign that we're watching right now, is that the voices of small government were out early. And you're not exactly going to get to D.C. with a small government, cut spending message and have it resonate with a lot of people who are very invested in making sure their gravy's going to go home. How do you do that?
Well, I think part of that is just being authentic and being who I am. I'm a second-generation Coloradan, and I think that in Colorado we have a set of values. We value common sense. We understand that you can't continue year after year after year after year to spend more than you're taking in. And right now our federal government has run away. We're not doing the things that we were supposed to be doing very well. And that's, of course, the number one priority of the federal government is to keep our country safe and secure. We're not doing that very well, and we're doing a whole bunch of other stuff at the same time that we probably weren't ever intended to do. So I think really, of course, the Washington establishment is going to say, that's not a thing that they're excited about, having someone who's going to come in and say that they're going to stand up and be a fiscal conservative and get our house back in order. But, I'm a husband and I'm a father. I've got two kids. And, when I think about my son and daughter, Jack and Eleanor, I know that unless we get our fiscal house in order here, they're not going to have a country. And so, we're now facing almost $20 trillion in debt. And I think about the fact that they're looking at $60,000 for every man, woman, and child in the entire country. That's it. We have got to focus on making sure that we can actually pay for the things that we have to do, and that we return government down to a more common sense level where it was intended. And I believe that's at the state or local level.
What is your stance? Could you encapsulate your foreign policy attitude because of your experience? I mean, you didn't just sort of watch these wars on television. You watched them from the ground.
Yes.
What would your foreign policy, how do you encapsulate that?
Well, certainly my experience is not, briefing papers, and it's not, as you said, Foreign Policy Magazine. It's having served in the Middle East, overseas, in Iraq and Afghanistan and other places. And I think that one of the reasons why we need to have people in our federal government that have served in our military is because when you've been to war, you know that war is the last resort.
Right.
But sometimes you have to go to war.
Right.
And when you do go to war, you do it with overwhelming force, you meet your objectives, and you go home. And so I want to make sure that we have people that are representing us here in Colorado. We have a whole bunch of military installations. We need people that understand the nature of the threats that we face and are ready to do what's necessary to keep us safe and secure and prosperous.
I want to come back to that. I'm talking with John Kaiser. He is running for the GOP nomination for the U.S. Senate. But first, we got to take a quick check on traffic. We'll be right back momentarily.
Looks like this afternoon, troubles are on northbound I-25. Crash at Evans, another one at 6th Avenue. That's a real slow drive into downtown. Your southbound drive is not bad, and neither is I-70. A little bit jammed up westbound around 270, heading over toward Quebec, and then over to Colorado. Eastbound still in pretty good shape, and your 270 drive is heaviest on the westbound side, too. There was an earlier crash at Vasquez. Northbound Wadsworth and Mississippi, that's construction slowing you down, and some lights are malfunctioning at 38th and Federal. Your CBS 4 weather, clear skies overnight down to 35, sunny and 63 tomorrow. It's 59 right now. American Financing sponsors this traffic report. Next update, 3:30 on the Traffic Leader, KOA News Radio.
NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate. Still renting? American Financing has loan programs that can get you into a home for less than you're paying for rent, for as little as $1,000 down. American Financing, 303-695-7000 or AmericanFinancing.net.
KOA News Radio time, 318, my bad there. John Kaiser visiting with us. He is on the ballot for the primary to, he wants to unseat Michael Bennett ultimately, but first he's got to get through this primary process. Before the break, I asked you about your foreign policy. So let me see if I can encapsulate it. If we have to fight, go over, fight to win, and then leave. So it doesn't sound like you're super keen on nation building.
You know, it's something that I think we've not done very well. We've been asking a lot of our military, and certainly our military has stepped up and done a phenomenal job over the last 15 years, which is, you know, certainly the longest period of prolonged war we've had in our nation's history. You know, we have millennials now that are graduating from college, and they've never known anything but
right.
an America at war. And that's really concerning to me. You know, we don't have to live this way. We can defeat this enemy. We can, but not with this current administration. We can't. We don't have a strategy right now with President Obama. And, of course, you know, Michael Bennett has been absolutely disastrous for Colorado. He voted for the Iran deal. He's voted a number of times to support the president's plan to import the world's most dangerous terrorists from Guantanamo Bay to the United States and probably right here to Colorado. Of course, he voted against common sense things like screening refugees and making sure we know where they've been. Michael Bennett's foreign policy has been dangerous, frankly, for Colorado, and it's time that we need a change.
Well, I don't disagree with anything you just said, by the way. So let's get into some domestic issues. When it comes to things like social issues, do you wade in? And if so, how? In what measure?
Well, I think these are all issues that we have to talk about, right? If it's a social issue, you know, if I get a question, I always answer the question. But I'll tell you, as we've traveled around the state here, I've put about 10,000 miles on the truck. It's pretty interesting because, again and again, what I'm hearing from Coloradans is people are scared. People are frightened because they know right now with the leadership that we have in Washington, D.C., they're worried about the safety and security of this country. They're worried about another San Bernardino. They're worried that a Paris or a Brussels is going to happen right here in the United States. And as a career intelligence officer, as somebody who's had a top secret security clearance my entire adult life, I share that concern. It's a real concern. And frankly, it's much worse than most people even imagine. We have an enemy in his radical Islamic terror that has declared war on us. Now, this isn't a war of our choosing, but they've declared war on us. And I think that we need to take that fight and fight and defeat radical Islamic terrorists overseas with our all-volunteer military, and not leave that up to emergency responders and sheriffs and law enforcement. That's just not the way to do it.
What are your thoughts? Donald Trump has made a whole lot of hay talking about building a wall on the southern border. But from a security perspective, what do you do about the southern border?
Well, so right now I'm an intelligence officer that's assigned to United States Southern Command. And so we, over the area of responsibility that we have is Central and South America and the Caribbean. And so I understand at a very finite detail the threats that we face that are coming up through our southern border. And they are real threats. And so any discussion about immigration is a national security discussion. You know, we have things out there like ISIS, their chief propaganda magazine that they send out all over the world. It's called the Beak magazine. And in one of the issues, they actually talk about in there a plan to bring weapons and personnel through the Middle East, down to Africa, and then through South America, then Central America, and they mock us for the fact that we have such porous borders. Our southern border is so porous. So that's a national security discussion that we've got to have, and people in Washington, D.C. have been talking about it for decades.
Well, John, we're almost out of time. I'm sure we'll visit again before the primary. I'd like to. I'm going to try and have everybody on now that we know who's going to be there.
Yeah.
But with your last 2 minutes, why should people vote for you? Why should people choose you out of the list of candidates that have made the ballot?
You know, Fox News had an interesting article here this past weekend. They were talking, Mandy, about the fact that we've been at war now in this country for the longest period in our nation's history. And at that same time, we have now the fewest number of people, the smallest percentage of people in our federal government, our Congress, that have served in the military and that certainly have been to war. That's really concerning to me because all around the world, we have national security crises that are on a hair trigger. It's a dangerous world out there, and we need people with a steady hand that understand the natures of the threats that we face at home and abroad and are ready to stand up with a backbone and pursue policies that are going to make sure that we stay safe and secure and economically prosperous here in Colorado, and that's exactly what I will do.
I may regret asking this question. Have you decided who you'd like to see as president at this point?
I've decided that I'm supporting the Republican nominee. I am absolutely certain that they're going to be much better than an avowed socialist or a woman who's under the active investigation of the FBI. This is a really important year in 2016 because we're not just voting for president. We're voting, obviously, for the control of the Senate. And the Senate race here in Colorado is absolutely critical in maintaining a Republican Senate majority. And the reason why that is so important, especially this year, is because our constitutional rights hang in the balance right now. They hang in the balance because of the recent unfortunate passing of Justice Scalia. So the next Senate majority will be deciding who will replace Justice Scalia. And I believe that should be someone who is in the same vein as Justice Scalia, an originalist, someone who adheres to the written word of the Constitution. I firmly believe that because our Second Amendment rights, our First Amendment rights, they all hang in the balance right now. It's so critical. This election in 2016 is one that I'm confident that my kids in the very near future are going to be reading about in their history books. And I'm very optimistic that they're going to see in 2016, that's the year that we got back on the right trajectory as a country, as a state, and we sent a new generation of leaders to lead this country forward. And that's why I'm asking for people's vote.
You can find out more online if you go to my page on KOANewsRadio.com. Click on the Mandy Connell page, and I put a link to John's website so you can find out more about him. And if you'd like to support him, you can do that there. And also, don't forget, we have the picture of the Bernie Sanders supporters that every single person in America must see. It's from his speech in Evansville, and it's worth the typing. Trust me on this. You really, really want to see it. It's on the blog today. John Kaiser, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mandy.
We'll talk again soon. Let's talk to Chad Hoffman. What's happening?